Just a quick update. During this episode, I said that the tank that the Hunter tank was an M6, and it is an M3. The M6 tank was never deployed in World War II, and just wanted to clear that up because I was pretty shocked I started researching an M6. All right, well, thanks.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Ah, there you are.
You can never get it right the first time, can you?
I try. It just keeps ringing. I'm hitting the little green button.
Yeah.
It's just not responding.
Huh.
I keep flicking the button.
Yeah, nothing. This is how do you do a mic check? Just out of curiosity.
I just had to check that I was using my mic. Mic check, check one, check.
No,
check.
I know, but how do you do that? Do you call the Skype test service, or what do you call? What do you do?
The what now?
What? How do you check to see if your mic is working?
I check my levels in the audio settings.
But you don't actually test it. This is coming from a tester.
You can see. You can see the green bar going up and down. You can see the green bar.
But wouldn't you rather have proof that it works?
Yes. I don't know how to do that, though.
You call the Skype test thing. You get on Skype and you call the echo test.
There's no such thing.
Yes, there... Oh, God. How do you think I do my mic check? Mic check, mic check. Test one, test two, test three. Scooby-dooby-doo, scabaroda.
What's the difference between seeing the green bar and doing the echo test?
Because you get it back, you get feedback in and feedback out, and it not only tests the mic, it tests Skype.
Oh. Well, if I do that, then it'll just say your connection sucks.
Well, it'll say you're not working.
Quit, yeah. Uh-oh. My Skype is not responding.
Yeah, that's... Oh, now?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, Lord. Maybe you should update.
This has been Geek Punch episode.
Do you want me to call 640... you back?
No, I think as long as we're still talking, it should be fine.
Okay. Let me make sure I'm back. Recording.
All right, I'm back.
Okay, not responding.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Geek Brunch. So,
all right.
So now that I explained to you how to test.
Yes, now I know how to test.
I just need your help in figuring out how to edit. Because, God damn it, this new recorder sucks.
Well, doesn't it just create like an MP3 or something?
It creates an MP3, but it kind of like records my volume and your volume at different levels, or my volume and everybody. Let's say if I'm on with more than two
right.
people, then it records me on one level and then all the other three people on a higher level.
Right.
And I don't like to edit. Pretty May, when it recorded everything at the same levels.
Ah,
and I know it's the recorder, because when Daryl puts out a Gotham by Geeks and I'm on it, my volumes are high. They're like Campbell levels, and his are lower. So I know it's the recorder.
Yeah, he's in the same recorder.
That sucks. But
I would recommend
I might have to levelate this damn thing, and I haven't done that for
didn't
like
you used to...
10 years, man. I used to have to, but now I'm gonna have to do it again.
Was that before Pretty May?
I used to do it. Once I got Pretty May, everything was copacetic. And I used Pretty May even when it told me to upgrade, I'd say no, don't upgrade. But then they forced it on me. Like Microsoft said,
like,
this version is dead. Like we're not gonna let you call nobody or anything. And their versioning is so like effed up. Like it's like not even, they don't test it. Like it's not backward compatible very well, because.
Well, they don't care about.
If me and you are on different versions, if me and you are on different versions, you're usually okay. But if you have more than one party on different versions, it's not okay.
In trouble?
Yeah, you need everybody to upgrade then. And now that I'm upgraded, I'm on the latest version, and I'm moving my recorder along with it, which is copacetic, but then I don't have Keith updating, or you know what I mean? It becomes a sucky IT system. Never had to worry about this shit before.
So, hang on. I'm going to go punch my son in the face.
What?
No, this. I guess it's okay.
What's wrong?
It keeps cutting you out every once in a while, and oh. I know it's because he's watching the pornography. I mean,
what?
The YouTube. Mental pornography.
Yeah.
Eats away at your brain. Well, you could try using a different recorder.
Yeah, I've had the same problem. I tried another
or
one.
You can level
it's even worse.
Ooh.
Well, I don't like to do the stereo thing, and then I'm lazy. I'm the laziest podcaster That's there is. Fine. I like to podcast to talk, okay? But I don't want to edit. Like that's nonsense. That's extra time.
Your job is once you hang up, your job is done.
My job is done. I just want to FTP it and then say, here it is, everybody. I don't want to do anything. I don't got time for that shit. I'd rather be reading comics, man, and I have a whole library of them.
I don't know. Well, to level 8, don't you just like hit a button and it goes through and...
No, you have to download another piece of software because you use Audacity to like edit it. And then you have to, I think you have to save it in a certain format, level 8 it, and then save it back to another format. At least that's what I used to have to do it.
Well, I would be happy
to do it for me.
Watch you
to
be
watch
your
me.
IT support as you do it. Watch you do it. Certainly I could do some of it if you need me to.
Yeah. You're digitizing. I think you're
going
to have to go whoop somebody.
Damn it! Well, good. Then you didn't hear me offer to help you.
Yeah.
I'm glad that was cut out.
That was cut out. I couldn't hear anything.
Thank goodness. Thank you, Skype.
So, what you been up to? You're actually home on a holiday weekend. That's odd.
Oh no, I hit a button.
What button?
Test connection button. I don't know what it's gonna do.
What are you doing? you realize we're recording.
Don't
it's not.
Site.
You don't test stuff
Damn
while.
It.
What are you doing? Why are you testing now?
I'm testing. Why?
We're recording. Do you understand?
Yeah, recording. That's why I'm testing.
No,
I'm testing to make sure the recording is going to turn out properly.
You're not even recording. How are you? How do you know it's going to turn out properly?
Because I'll hear it when you post it. Say, why am I so loud and Mike is so quiet?
You have to wonder why I'm going to scream, because I don't want to have to edit. So if I scream loud enough, maybe I can hit the same volumes.
Just yell the whole time.
I'll be exhausted by the time we're done. Can you hear me okay?
It's the challenges. I can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Let me turn my levels up to compensate.
Turn them down?
Awesome. No, I'm going to turn them up so that's all you can hear is me.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Let's see. Automatically adjust. I'm perfect.
Yeah.
I can uncheck automatically adjust. Crank it up. Hey, Mike, now I'm really loud.
Yes, you're very
Welcome
loud.
Welcome to Geek Brunch.
Now you can't hear me.
Okay, I'll turn it down really low.
Because I'm not going to edit it.
There, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Am I low?
No, you're fine.
Oh, am I low now?
No.
I'm not?
No, you're fine. I can hear you.
Oh, perfect.
And I have one deaf ear, so that's pretty good.
I'm going to switch it back. I don't know what this setting does. It's probably one of those settings that doesn't actually
Why
do
are
anything.
We testing Skype in the, now during our recording?
Okay. All right. I'm ready. We can start recording now.
I already started.
3, 2, 1. Hello and welcome to Geek Brunch Podcast, your source of comic news. Wait, no, we don't do that.
What the hell is that?
Where we cover the best in comics, TV, movies, and what was the other thing we do? Video games and pornography. Welcome.
Speaking of, I did get, I don't know why I did this, but I ordered, you know, that Jungle Fantasy one that we're looking at the cover with the tongue.
You got that one?
I got
one. Nice.
It came.
I meant to order that. I totally forgot. Oh man, that's a treasure.
Yeah, I showed Barb, and she's like, "What the hell?"
What number was that? Wait, don't tell me on. Oh, yeah,
no, it was a number one. You should have got it.
Oh, I probably just got the regular. Oh, I don't know if I got that one.
It was like another mini. It was Jungle Girls something. You know how they have a different.
Yeah, I don't think. Vixens?
Yeah.
Did it just come out?
Yeah. You're so far behind because you wait a month to.
No, I gotta wait until the end of a month. I have to look on eBay after this. They allow such filth on eBay. Wait, which one did you get? Oh, that one cover, right? The tentacle cover?
Mm-hmm. No. The one with they're in a T-Rex's mouth.
Yeah, with the tongue?
Yeah, with the tongue.
Isn't there Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I didn't order that one. I don't know if I ordered any of those. I'm weak or strong or something. Ridiculous. Yes. Okay, you ready to start?
Yeah, I thought we did.
3. Oh.
You're gonna count.
Yeah, I'm jealous
again
of that cover. I was gonna be so. I'm. Listeners don't know this, but I was a few minutes late today.
Yes.
I was gonna be on time.
There's never you're never on time. Let's talk about this. If we look at satellite time, you're never on time, Bill. Never.
I get confused as to what time zone
I think the earliest you show up is 5 minutes late.
Yeah, about that.
And that's today, the earliest.
Today I was on time.
No, you weren't on time.
But I was making some tea.
Yeah.
During the show.
The pretentious tea, so you can hold it in your little ass teacup.
Right, my China teacup with my pinky extended, and I accidentally knocked it over and spilled it all over the counter. So I had to clean it up before I came here. Everywhere, I got it everywhere. It was a mess. It was a sea of tea, and then I had to make. Can't come on the show without tea. That would be improper.
Is it hot tea?
Hot tea. It's actually chai tea.
Oh, you really bring the pretentiousness to this show in like do you have those little ass teacups? Do you have a little saucer underneath it?
Well, if you don't have a saucer, then I don't think you can call it tea.
Oh, you're an asshole. You're one of those guys. You're above everybody, aren't you? Your
Look,
body
I have
is
a special
wonderland.
Vessel.
Gee, does your teacup say, "My body is a wonderland"? Did you have that put on there? No.
I had it etched in. No, it's just in a travel mug. So it stays warm. It has to stay warm for at least 6 to 8 hours that we record.
Ah.
Actually, today I need to leave today at 12:30.
So that is, what time is it now on your time? 10?
10 o'clock. Another 2.5 hours.
I think we'll be done by then. Unless it's this a really a short, long one.
Short episode.
Well, we've already been talking for a half hour almost.
And we've.
Your bandwidth is bad, though. You are choppy. I can Dang hear it. You. I can hear you, but it's not as crystal as usual.
December. That's about when Jungle Fantasy would have been solicited, right?
I guess. Are you still concerned that you missed it?
I know I missed it. I'm just.
Well, we were talking about it. We were talking about it on this show about that cover.
I remember.
And we're like, man, that's cover's raunchy, man.
Fantasy. Jungle Fantasy.
Yeah. It was the
Luscious
same
cover?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. I have it right in front of me.
I didn't order the Luscious cover.
Let me see.
I failed.
It's Survivors, it's not Vixens.
Oh, it's Survivors. I have to look through that.
Man, that covers something. It's the wraparound. Jungle Fantasy Survivors wraparound. See if you can Google that in your Google machine.
Yes, listeners at work. Search for that and...
At work? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Open it big on your computer so you can see all the detail. Beautiful detail of the art.
At work?
I would recommend. As your background.
Invite everybody into your office.
During a meeting, preferably, when you're presenting.
When you have it on a projector.
That's awesome. If you're in an online meeting...
Mm-hmm.
Have it in your open in your browser so you can accidentally have to tab past it and be like, oh, so.
How did that come up?
I don't know where that came from.
You could blame it on the, what do you call it? The hackers. They want Bitcoin. They're hijacking my machine right now.
Survivors wraparound. Oh, there it is. Man, if you do a search for Jungle Fantasy Survivors on eBay, it's like you can see all the covers. Wow. There's a lot of stickers on these pictures. A lot of stickers.
Hiding things.
Hiding all the naughty bits.
Just out of curiosity, when you came back from the con, you know, the C2E2, did you tell your wife, hey, did you know my body is a wonderland?
I don't remember if I don't think I knew at that point my body was a wonderland.
Oh, it was after.
Yeah, I think it was after that I found out that my body is actually a wonderland. I think I knew that at the con.
Yeah.
At the con, it felt more like my body was an amusement park.
Everybody was riding.
I found it after it was actually in a Wonderland, not an amusement park.
Yeah. So let's get into these books. What do you
Yes,
say?
We have some good books today.
Did you read everything?
I think... No, something I didn't have, I think, but I think the rest I did.
Did you have Monica?
I did.
Well, why don't we jump into that?
All right, we're going to start with the top.
Start at the top.
Top.
Well, we go from Jungle Fantasy to Monica.
Well, there are...
There's a little bit of segue.
Yeah, there is nudity, but... It's a In this, there's the classic artistic nudity.
Yeah, it's not
Jungle Fantasy.
It's not vulgar. Well, it's got penis, and it's got everything else. It always seems to have the limp one though. Like, hey, after.
Yeah, I don't know if they're allowed to show the fully erect version. Yeah. I think that's a line you cannot cross.
Unless you're in the crossed.
Unless you're in, not even does the crossed.
Are you sure? Are you serious? I've seen something.
Yeah, I think. They probably. It's been a while since I read Cross. So I need to go back and. Well, they've brought it out for a while, but I need to.
Do you own every Crossed?
I do.
We should start a Cross podcast.
The Crosscast. Podcrossed. Crossing the streams.
we'll be definitely a niche. And there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of comics.
It'll be called Effing the Dead.
Effing the Dead. Your Body is a Wonderland podcast. Your Body is a Wonderland podcast, The Crossed.
Crossed. I like it. Trademark. Put a stamp on that. Send it off to the Corporation of Corporate Registrations. The copyright people. So Monica. By Tilde Barboni and Gilliam March.
When I read the second volume, the first four pages, I was lost. I don't remember her going to prison.
I had to go back and read the last few pages of volume
what
one.
Can you refresh my memory? What happened at volume one at the end, at the very end?
At the very end, she was like on her phone.
Yeah.
And it looked like she punched something into her phone, and then there was an explosion out in the distance. And then she got out her camera and was taking pictures of the explosion.
Oh.
Kind of implying that she had some involvement in it.
I felt this was a little jarring because it made it feel like time had passed.
Like, well, they said, yeah. So this volume takes place 6 months after the first one.
Yeah. And then I didn't understand. Well, I mean, eventually, I eased into the story, and I understood where it went. Because I remember the explosion. I don't remember her taking... Like, they'd say in this book, she was taking photos of bombs and all kinds of stuff that made her seem like a terrorist. So, like, when they raided her apartment, they had all this evidence that she was a bomber, right?
Yeah. Well, they had pictures of the... explosion because she was taking pictures, but just from her apartment,
yeah,
her loft or whatever. And then she did have all the explosives for her art project,
yeah,
because her thing was that she's a artist, and she was the whole story, like through volume one, she was working on this art installation which was multimedia, so it was video and there was going to be explosions and stuff. So she had all this. She had both explosives and triggers for those explosives, and then photos of the explosions, and then ties, or I don't know if she had ties to the terrorist organization. Well, she was, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what all they had that convicted her. But then... the bombings continued after she went to jail, so she got released. But yeah, it was kind of jarring because her arrest and going to jail was never in any of the books.
Mm-hmm.
So this book opens with her getting out of jail after 6 months.
Yeah, and her friend picks her up, And he's even worse shape as far as being followed and stuff.
Yeah,
He's
the guy
like
who.
really having to watch his back. So
Right.
he says, "Hey, I'm undercover." I and he's making that android, if you remember. He's working in
Yeah,
AI.
he's the guy who used to work for the tech company, the Japanese tech company, but he quit and stole all the AI stuff he had been working on.
Yeah. So
So the company's still after him.
yeah, he's still doing that. He's undercover. He's working for a band called Plastic Tits, or what were they called? Paper Dolls?
Vanilla Beans.
Vanilla
Vanilla
Beans.
Dolls, I think. Yeah, Vanilla Dolls.
Plastic Tits. How did I come up with
But
that?
ironically, that was the name of my band in high school.
Really?
Plastic Tits. No. That'd be awesome.
A co-worker, and they were the Daisy Chains, so you're all in the same area. So this was kind of weird. Is she goes to this band, and for some reason, their go-go dancer, if you will, like they have a band, and they have like a sexual doll that dances. Kind of like a Raggedy Ann looking doll with green hair.
Yeah, she's kind of like a marionette or something.
Marionette that dances during the
Very
concert
scantily clad.
while these guys play music.
Right.
And they say, "Well, man, you'll have to fill in because our dancer is out." So and she reluctantly does. She gets into it. It's weird. She just gets there and she starts taking off her clothes, dresses up as this vanilla doll. Do they have
Right.
tassels on her tits, or is that gas coming out of them? What is
She had
that?
like they're like ribbons, I think.
Are there ribbons?
Yeah. Yeah. But she's like I think that she was into it because she didn't want to do it, but once she got on stage, she was into it because she's an artist and a performer
Yeah.
naturally, so once she got up there, she kind of got lost in the art side of it.
So she says she does it and she does well. They're impressed with her. And when they're done, she's like, "Can you please just take me home? I need to get some rest and a shower." And he says, "I can't take you home. You know, for one thing, they've invaded your home and it's being watched. We can't go there, but I can take you to this place." And it just
Right,
had
because
like a mattress on the floor. And it has this weird tub like I've never ever freaking seen before in my life. It's got this little spout that just drips water into this tub. Like, it's not even like a tub, it's like this
it's like one of those aluminum tubs.
aluminum tub, circular tub. And again, we get to see like naked Monica in there. And
Yeah,
he.
I was gonna say that they couldn't go back to the loft because the Japanese company or whatever who's looking for the AI had found out he was living there and broken in trying to find it, but he had already moved out of there by that point.
Plus, the loft was under criminal investigation too for her
Yeah.
stuff. So it's probably not a safe place to go. And then the one part of this series I don't think they built out very well was her relationship with the bald guy that would buy her work, you know, like kind of like her boss, like reporter.
Oh, the
Yeah, he's like the Perry White or the Jonah Jameson
thought he
guy.
was. Yeah. Yeah, was he in the first volume? He
Yeah,
must have been.
he was. He
Yeah.
was. So she goes to him to try to get help. And she does. They set her up so she could go undercover as her sister and go to the prison of the actual bomber to get information so they can set up the other guy.
Right, because her theory is that, well, she knows her sister was involved with this group, so she's going to pretend to be her sister to try and get some information.
And then they ha we have this after she does that and she gets what she wants, she goes back to the place that she's staying with her AI buddy. And it looks like very sexual, like she wants to sleep with this robot. She straddles him essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Just lays on top of him and goes to sleep.
Right, she's receiving comfort from this AI.
And that's about the time that her friend tries to drive away and gets kidnapped by the Japanese. So they actually found him.
So what did you think of this book overall?
I thought it was amazing.
Me too, I loved it. I thought that, I guess we could talk about the art for a little bit. Of course, being Gillian Marsh, it was incredible. Once again, I love it when he does the art and the colors, like his watercolors.
Yeah.
And they actually show at the end, like in the bonus pages, they show him like working on some of his art, and you can see like the pages are actually like watercolored, so he's doing it all by hand.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I love by hand watercolor. It's so gorgeous. And once again, he like some of the panels, you just sit there and stare at them because they're so beautiful.
Yeah. What'd you think of the twist? I liked it. Like she works with that politician guy to take down the religious guy that has mm-hmm. her sister. Like kind of in a cult, like she's kind of blinded, but
right.
the big twist is she always thought her sister was like manipulative to her, and did things to her, like threw dirt on her and made her look ugly and stuff. But she was doing it as a kid to protect her little sister from getting raped by her father.
Right.
And in other words, Erica was being raped by her father. Her mother was doing nothing about it. So Erica killed her parents with like a carbon monoxide thing and protected her sister. But now she's out to kill her sister because she believes that religious guy. And she actually goes to sleep with that politician guy again. Like he can't get enough of her. And they politically take down that cult, if you will. But then... She goes back to her place and has a final confrontation with her sister and actually throws a chemical on her face, which is like an acid, which really burns half of her face and messes her up pretty bad.
Yeah, there's a pretty intense, brutal fight at the end of this between I'm not going to give away who's all involved in it, but several members of the story, so... Yeah, I thought that was really well done. I thought it was a satisfying conclusion. Although the part about the father and what she was doing, they already had given that away in the first volume. So
did they really?
If you remember, yeah.
I remember. Yeah, there was... I remember she killed her parents. I don't remember. I thought Monica was naive to the fact that her sister. I mean, we know her sister did awful things to her. And this one is where you learn the reason why she did awful things to her, right?
I don't have the first volume around.
Your son's probably reading it.
Yeah, I think he is. There was something in there, though, that implied that she was doing it to protect her. Like, she didn't come out and tell Monica that, like, she did in this volume, but she did say, I don't know if it was under her breath or... how it was presented, but she did. It was revealed in the first one.
I'd like to see more from these two. I found this really good, like really really good.
Yeah, for sure. If Titan prints any of the other stuff that Tilde Barbone has done, I will definitely be picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the nice surprise I think about this series is I knew going in that I would love the artwork. And I was kind of planning on primarily reading it just for the art.
Yeah.
Saying, you know, if the story, the story is secondary to the art, but thankfully the story as well was compelling, so it was a very enjoyable read. I loved it, and I love the format of these
hardcovers.
Yeah, the European format. They're nice. I mean, they're.
I'm glad I saw it. I look at Titans, Solicits pretty close. I like skip all the Doctor Who stuff, and then I look at everything else.
Well, that's because you have exquisite taste.
And I saw. I mean, what sold me is the Gilliam March. I was like, okay. I don't usually buy art books unless it's Kirby, but like I have Gilliam March art books that just have art.
Yeah, and this, I mean, an oversized hardcover Gilliam March watercolor sequential art, you know, you can't pass that up.
It's worth $17. Mm-hmm. And we get a discount. I can't remember how much, but it's like 30, I think. 35.
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah, I mean, you could probably get this off Amazon for 30 off.
I don't think the first volume's available anymore on Amazon. I think the second one is.
Okay. Well, you could always get the version of volume one that you got. Or you could always email Mike and try and get his second copy of volume one. Are you there?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
I can almost hear me echoing when I speak really loud to try to offset having to levelate.
And then the last page of this is a nice picture of Monica in her attire from the orgy party.
Yeah.
Sexy. What do you think of the very last page in this book was weird. Where they showed her like doing her performance.
The last page?
Yeah, the very last page. Do you remember the very last?
I love the painted thing on the last page though. Oh my god.
Yeah. I mean the last page of the story itself.
That I guess I didn't pay attention to that. That's pretty sexy. She's back on concert.
Yeah, I think she's doing her
as an AI.
Oh, yeah, I guess she is doing the band is there, so maybe
yeah,
it is
the band is playing.
Yeah, it must be with the Vanilla Dolls.
But it's weird because they almost have a catwalk set up on the stage.
Like, and she's got like art behind her. So I know what I think it is. I think they like combined the Vanilla Dolls with her artwork because I think they have all her artwork up. So it's a cross between them performing and her doing her performance art stuff. Yeah, and she's made herself into an AI, or to look like an AI, naked. Gorgeous. I love it. Highly recommended. Especially for all you March fans out there. You cannot pass this up. You'd be a fool to pass this up. Or if anyone likes politically tinged thrillers with AI and art and sisters fighting.
Yeah.
Quite good.
It's weird. I almost want to give away the ending. But we didn't talk about the end of how her sister thing ended, which is kind of pretty crazy. Yeah,
we shouldn't give it away.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy in itself, though.
Yes.
It's something to talk about. All right, what do you want to talk about next?
Let me see. We didn't. Not that. Got that. We got that. Not that. What do we? Well, there's a book that we read that you liked more than I liked.
Which one?
Which is Nick Fury number one.
Oh, man, I like that a lot.
I know.
But I'm a fan of Jim Steranko's Nick Fury, too. And this to me, they made it look and feel like that. In the 70s.
Yes, the art was very Steranko-ish in style and color.
And story, because the story is very much like a Bond-type character. He goes in there, does a mission, and comes out.
Right, so it starts off that he's going to this, he's on a mission to this casino. Was it in Vegas or?
Can I just say something real quick about this? Just in
Monte Carlo. Yes.
When you buy the print copy.
Yes.
You get a digital copy, not of this one though. It still had the bullshit where they were giving you three of the same comic. But number two, they did. So I just want to say that this does work. I mean, just the way they do panel layouts and such, it works a lot better in digital because they'll have like a full two-page spread. And if you go on the panel view, you like see the scenes a little better. Do you know what I mean? Like you'll see them zooming in on the circular thing or, you know, you know what I'm talking
about. Close-ups
of all
the inserts. Yeah,
so it makes it look more like a Bond film or something, you know?
It probably makes it more sequential.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the book, it's like a bunch of panels or splashes with little circular inserts of things, close-ups of things.
Yeah.
So I could see in the digital that it moves more sequentially through the inserts. That would be interesting. I wish I could check it out.
Yeah, well, you could if you got number two. Because Marvel started to do that again. You know, they had like 3 months, maybe it was 4 months of not doing it. And then they went back to it because people complained. And now they're doing it again. The bad thing is, I mean, my process is I get my shipment. I order them by company. Well, I order them in three piles, my DC, my Marvel, and my other. And then I alphabetize the other by company. So I start like with Action Lab or 451 Media. You know, I do numerics before alphanumerics. I put them all in order. And with the Marvel ones, then I get into the scan process. So I go with my bar scanner to inventory them in my database. So I go bloop 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 bloop. I do that for DC and Marvel, and other. And when I go after I'm done with that, then I take the barcodes of the DC books that are $3.99, and I enter them into the DC site. And then the Marvel, I enter my digital codes in on the Marvel site. So I have quite a collection of digital, even though I don't read digital. But it works. I read digital comics in the middle of the night, so I don't have to turn the light on.
Right.
I could just go read it. So I have quite a few of them. But why didn't you like this?
I didn't say I didn't like it. I didn't like it as much as you. I thought it was good, but I wasn't blown away by it.
I thought what they were trying to achieve, they achieved it, and I appreciated it.
I agree with that.
When I see Steranko's pages on Nick Fury, and I look at him closely, it has a very like Andy Warhol pulpish type look to it, and this one has that. I mean, it the colors are like in your face. It's almost like a psychedelic acid trip of pulp art, and I thought it really stood out. The story is more like a James Bond adventure. And it's pretty straightforward, but the artwork is what makes it stand above and beyond, I think.
I agree. The only problem I had with the artwork is sometimes it was a little confusing on how to interpret it, what was going on.
That's why I said I had the same problem. So I would, especially when they had the big pages, and
right.
Like they have like these zoom ins, right? They like zoom in a circle and he's like touching something, or he's like deactivating something with his eye, or he's doing something. And it's hard to absorb it in one big splash panel
and navigate
it correctly with your eyes, because it's one big image with a bunch of images in it, like circular images. But right. If you have the guy whoever writes the, somebody has to go scan this in and then kind of say, okay, when I zoom in, do a panel view.
Oh, yeah, the breakups.
Yeah, I'm going to break this panels. Up. And they do that order for you, and it navigates your eyes to the correct panel. And I'm usually not a fan of the panel view, but for this book, man, it worked awesome.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that...
I could see them doing that with...
Would help.
With, you probably didn't read... Midnighter, but the artist of Midnighter, I can't remember who he is, but he does a similar thing, because Midnighter can kind of like see things. His brain calculates things a lot faster than the normal human being. And it has all those zoom in on the circles and stuff. And I would like to see, I had problems with it when I was reading it in a paper format. But I would have liked to have seen it in digital to see if it navigated.
The digital version, yeah.
If it had,
was that
the
part
effect,
of the image sale on Comixology?
Which one?
Oh, the Midnighter's image not Image.
Oh,
though,
Image is now DC.
Yeah, it's DC now.
But you know what? I took advantage of that Image sale. It was 65% off, and I said, when I typed it in for the Savage Dragon Archives, I was like, it's like $2.80 for a whole archive. $2.80.
It's crazy.
Because it was already on sale. And I'm like, you could have an archive digitally available. I know the archives are in black and white, but to have Eric Larson stuff like that for $2.80, I can't go wrong having double dipping. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, because you could get like the first 200 issues or whatever for like $10.
Yeah.
Digitally, so yeah, I could see that. I like the print copies, though. I need to get a couple of those archives, too. Oh,
yeah.
I need to get 6, I think I need. Because some of the ones that aren't... Some of the Savage Dragon issues aren't in trade, so I either have to get single issues or... the archives for those. Which I'd rather have the color. But I can see the appeal. But yeah, I can see where the digital version would probably solve some of my problems with this issue. Because I think that, like, no doubt the art in this is gorgeous and the splash pages with the inserts is awesome looking. But in terms of reading, sometimes it was a little confusing.
Yeah.
Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So you're done just, with that.
Yeah. Just like, I mean, if I was just like flipping through and looking at it, it's awesome looking. like every page is like awesome. Just in terms of like, if I wasn't reading it and was just looking at the pictures, Like, this would be a nice coffee table book.
Yeah.
Because every page is, like, a work of art in terms of design. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should say, so the art was by... did you say ACO or ACO?
Oh,
ACO?
You know, that is weird. He did Midnighter.
Oh, did he? That's so funny.
Okay, that is weird. I gotta find out now for sure. Midnighter. It's the DC version, so it's the
and the Steve the writer Orlando. Of course was. Well, I mean, of this
yeah, it's
was
the same, it's the same
James
guy,
Robinson.
ACO.
Okay, that's funny. That's probably why it was so familiar to you.
So, I, you're probably on the fence then if you collect it, right?
Yeah, I probably won't get it.
That makes your maybe list. I already read number two. Number two was a little bit more too much color. It almost like give you an epileptic seizure. Like I think number one had the a good balance, but number two,
colors by Rachel Rosenberg or Rochelle Rosenberg. I don't know if she did the number two as well. Probably. So she went even further out there in terms of the colors in the second one?
Yeah.
I don't know. The first one was pretty stylized with the colors.
Well, I read number two, like I said, digitally because I could. Mm-hmm. And I tried it in like full page view, and I felt like I was going to have a seizure. I don't know. It's like too much color, man. But when I went into panel view, I was perfectly okay with it.
Okay. I wonder if the colors just pop more digitally, because digital interpretation of color is different than print interpretation of color. So it could just be that the digital version of these colors is poppier than the print version of them. Because print tends to be, I think, more subdued. Because on the digital, you can really burn someone's eyeballs out with the colors.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next on our agenda?
Is this the one you didn't cover, Hulk?
I did read Hulk.
Okay. I wasn't sure that. I thought that was the... Because this one has a writer that I'm really digging right now.
Yeah, this one I actually read. I didn't think I read because you said Hulk number one, so I thought there was like a new Hulk number one.
Yeah.
But this one came out a while ago, and I did actually read it when it came out.
This is Mariko Tamaki.
Yes, Mariko Tamaki.
And she's also writing Supergirl Being Human.
Yes.
And the way she writes, it just really clicks with me. Like, really clicks with me. So,
yeah, she's actually from the indie world. She, actually, I don't know if it was her first book, but she did have one that was.
Hello?
Oh.
What happened?
Hello?
What happened?
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. My headphones popped out a little bit or got loose.
Oh.
So,
can I ask you a question? These are new headphones, right?
No, this is not new head. This is my same old headphones.
I thought you bought new ones.
I did for work. I got new headphones.
Oh, fuck. why would you even post that? Who gives a fuck about that?
People care
The people that people are following you are not work employees. They're not going to say, oh, wow, Bill's going to be more productive. What the fuck?
People care.
No, they don't about care.
I work.
They don't care. They care about how you're going to perform on the podcast. That's all they care about. Oh, wow. She did Tomb Raider, the Dark Horse version. I have it, and I haven't read it.
I didn't know that. But the one I was going to talk about, she brought out another DC book. It was one of the Minx books, Amico Superstar.
I did not read that one.
I haven't either. I have it, though. And then her other, she's better known for, there's a book called Skim that she did with her cousin, Jillian. And then I think she did another book with her cousin. What was it? It was about some girls going to the beach, which I did read that one. It was good. And her cousin Jillian actually does Super Mutant. What the hell is that book called? Super Mutant Academy or something like that? Which is hilarious.
I never heard of this.
Didn't I talk? I thought I reviewed it on the show before. Maybe
Super,
I didn't.
Super Mutant?
Super Mutant Academy? Something like that. There's another word.
I can't find it, under that name.
Well, you can look up Jillian Tamaki.
Okay. Did he do anything else with her?
Well, she.
Oh, did she?
They did, I think they did Skim together, and then they did one other one. I can't remember what it's called.
Well, I can see Skim. Okay, so let me see Skim. What is that?
That one I haven't read, but I do own it.
Her art style, though, looks like anime.
Well, she doesn't draw.
No, the
sister. Yeah. Yeah, Jillian's is... Well, she has done a lot of anime style, but she also does some other styles. Like, she has a book that was just solicited recently that I think is done in a more traditional American style, or probably a mix. But they're good. They're both they're a couple talented cousins. I believe they're cousins.
Gilded Lilies. The One Summer.
Yeah, One Summer. That was the.
I like
the one
her.
About
so
a couple
of
girls going to the beach.
If
like
I had to dip my toe into any more of her work, I'd like to try. Well, I have the Tomb Raider. I had no idea.
Oh, you have that?
Doing it.
Yeah.
I buy a lot of stuff, Bill, and a lot of stuff I haven't even read yet.
I cannot really.
Oh, I guess I read Casey and April too from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was okay.
Super Mutant Magic Academy.
That's weird.
That's a bunch of.
That must be really independent if it doesn't show up in my database, but Skim does.
Super yeah, who published?
Mutant.
That's drawn a quarterly.
Super.
That's fantastic. That's hilarious. It's a bunch of strips. That's like comic strips, basically, about a bunch of kids at the Super Magic Academy. So there's both magic students and mutant students at this school. That's hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so funny that it's sad that someone is that talented. Kind of makes you feel bad that you're not you'll never get to that level. But Skim, I need to read Skim.
So was that the one she did for DC? Was that the young teenage girl thing? When they launched,
yeah,
that
was the Minx line.
I wasn't sure if it was
yes.
The Minx or the Detective line, because remember they were doing the Pulp line, whatever that was.
Oh, the Hard Case. Oh, hard no, wait, case. Hard Cases.
No, it was called something else, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They were like little trades and or little hardcovers. Like, those were
yeah,
good.
I love those. I know.
I wish I would have bought them all. I dipped my toe on the creators. I got a few of them. And I
You can usually find those.
I did the same thing with the other ones, the teenage girl line, because I didn't think I'd like them, but I read like three of them and they were all really good. Like the Minx. Well, I thought it was gonna be written to like not be interesting to me, but it was. Right. Slice of life stuff. It was good. Liked it. All right.
So, what are we talking about?
we talk about the Hulk. So,
yes, I liked it.
I really liked it. I gave this one a 5 out of 5.
Let me see what I gave it.
Monica was second 5 out of 5. My first 5 out of 5 was something that I may talk about, but I may not. But, because I didn't.
Hulk, I gave 5 out of 5.
Yeah, it just was written well. I think I really like the art. I really like the story. It's a different take on She-Hulk because She-Hulk, I mean, from the Burn eras, there was Savage She-Hulk, which was more like a Hulk female. And then John Byrne took it and kind of made her more lighthearted. And they kind of kept that character. If she wasn't in FF or she wasn't in Avengers, kind of in that lighthearted style in her own books, which had a lot of comedy and stuff in it. This is a really darker take, but it makes sense if you follow the evolution because she almost died. She almost got killed. So you have a near-death experience, and then you lose your cousin who you're really close to who died.
Mm-hmm.
And she's traumatized by that, and she doesn't want to turn to the Hulk. And it's the opposite of what she was before. Before, she'd want to turn and always be the Hulk because she felt like Jennifer Walters was inferior to her. Like, she couldn't even perform in the courtroom very well as Jennifer Walters. She would have to be She-Hulk. So it's like a flip of the character now. Now she has to... She wants to be Jennifer Walters, but still do her lawyer job.
Right, because she kind of wants a fresh start almost.
Yeah, yeah. She wants a fresh start. And it kind of opens up with a new case where this woman is being evicted from her apartment. We don't really know why. And she, like, can't leave her apartment. She's like one of those. Sounds like she's one of those people that just can't leave but is going to. Your mic did that weird thing again.
I know. Suddenly, you're very loud.
What are you doing?
I'm not doing. I wasn't doing anything.
You're not walking.
Man. No, I'm sitting here. Oh. I was twiddling my cord.
Oh, okay.
As the kids say these days.
I thought that meant jerking off.
What?
I thought that was another term for jerking off.
Oh. Yeah. What's your point?
So we're sitting here talking about the Hulk and you're whacking off.
She-Hulk.
She-Hulk, okay. You're twiddling your cord.
I'm twiddling my cord while we're talking about She-Hulk, yes.
That's the title of this episode. Twiddle my cord. There you go.
I don't have the book with me, though. Who did the art? I don't remember.
I think I have it up. I was looking at her her books.
I remember I liked it.
Really good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It is Nico Leon, who I don't know.
I don't either.
But let's click on him. And he did Guardians 3000. He's doing Hulk. He did Miss Marvel, which I own. Spider-Man.
I think it's maybe a her.
Spider-Man. Is it a her? Nico?
Think?
Oh, Nico is a girl's name. Nico is like the character in Runaways. Nico. She's the magic one, I think. And I think the Spider-Man that I'm talking about is the Miles Morales Spider-Man in the current continuity. So, yeah, she's done a lot of Marvel work. Which means that she, it's, if he, she doesn't
maybe
have
it's
any
a he.
Independent work, it's hard to tell sometimes with these names. Is Nico a girl's name or a guy's name, Barb? You would say a guy's name, but I know a girl's name. You read Runaways? That girl is Nico. Do you remember Runaways? The one that sits by your bedside and still by your bedside that you never finished? You read like two issues of? What good are you guys?
Well, in any case, Nico. Nico's from Argentina. And I like their art.
Yes. I second that. So that's another thumbs up. The Hulk. And then you picked one. The Unstoppable Wasp. Which I had already read. But I reread.
The Unstoppable Wasp. Yes. And this was by
Jeremy Whitley.
Yes. Of
Action
Princeless.
Lab.
Yeah, Princeless fame. And that is why I got it. To check out how he would handle this character.
It's interesting.
And I really enjoyed it.
Her intro is in Avengers, and he wrote it too.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. It's in the Mark Waid Avengers, but like there's a couple issues that Jeremy Whitley scripted, and they involve the Wasp, and they're really good. Matter of fact, I haven't been enjoying Mark Waid's Avengers that much. I think it's the all new God dang, my database even hates this name. Ah. Shit, it's got dashes. All new, this is
all new, all different
all
Avengers.
Different Avengers. And if
there
we go down to issue,
let's see what issues. Let's wait. Oh, there we go. 14.
Yeah, if you go to 14. And it even has the Unstoppable Wasp on it. It's an amazing issue. Like, I would highly recommend, if you like Unstoppable Wasp, that you go pick up issue 14. And,
so it was just one issue?
I think there's one. Yeah, it's just one issue.
I'll have to get it then.
She shows up in 13. Like, I think at the very end. But she's fleshed out in 14. So, and it's all a Wasp issue in that 14. Like, she shows up at Avengers Mansion and wants to meet her father and stuff. And I think that's where she finds out he's dead. But the only thing I didn't care about, and it just doesn't work for me, is the stylized art in this. I don't care for that style.
I like the art.
The art to me is
the art is by Elsa.
I've enjoyed Charette's her art. She's done some stuff for IDW. Like she has like.
It is very IDW style art.
No. But if you go back and look at her other stuff, let me see if I can find it. It looks very Darwyn Cook-ish. Okay. Here
it's a little Darwyn Cook-ish.
Well, no, not in here. In her other stuff.
She's more Darwyn Cook-ish.
Yeah, she's more
I agree,
Darwyn
Mike. This book is very Darwyn Cook IDW.
No.
There's a couple I could see it, though, in a couple panels.
Yeah.
Overall, it's more of a cartoony style, though. It's kind of Darwyn Cook-ish.
They're doing this style, though, for so
I can
many
see
Marvel
it.
Books, and it just... I don't like it. Like Patty Walker, Moon Girl. I know what they're targeting, and I have no problem with that. They're targeting a different audience, and the styles are very different. But I don't care for this style. It's even kind of like in Champions, and I've recently did a little bit of a culling in Marvel, and what did I drop? I dropped Miss Marvel. I dropped the Champions. I kept Unstoppable Wasp, but I think it's canceled already. What else did I cancel? Patsy Walker, but that was canceled already. So I just don't like the style.
See, Mike, you drop a book and suddenly it gets canceled.
Yeah. See, I'm no, I post on Facebook that I keep the industry alive. I
That's
actually
proof.
control. I control the industry.
You control what gets
Yeah.
saved and what gets dropped.
Yeah,
You say,
movie girl
oh,
is
if
short for
Mike
this world now because I dropped it.
dropped it. I never got that one.
Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur.
Yes.
Sammy Reader.
I know. Well, isn't she doing it with that other dude, Brandon
She's
something?
writing it though. Yeah.
Yeah. I
Brandon
didn't like
Montclair. I don't
Yeah,
like
I
the
didn't like I
when
don't like
they
the right I didn't like the stuff they did in the past, so
I think it's the influence of Brandon Montclair, but that's just me.
it could be. I don't know. I didn't like that Halloween girl.
Yeah, that was a
There's stuff.
Kickstarter, wasn't it, that we paid for?
I didn't get the Kickstarter. I just got
I
it when it
did
was
get the
released on
Kickstarter.
Image. There.
But she drew like Madame Xanadu. It was freaking amazing.
Oh, I love her art. Forget
Yeah.
about her. Art's been wonderful. She doing any art now?
She
Or
might
just
do
writing?
covers. The last thing I remember her doing that I was collecting, well, she did Rocket. There was a book they did for Image. I think it's Rocket Girl. Is
A
it
rock
Rocket Girl?
girl. Yeah. Oh, is she drawing that?
Rocket. I think she did covers. I'm not sure she drew all of it. It's hard
Okay.
to
Covers.
remember.
I think I read the first issue of Rocket Girl. And I liked it about as much as I liked Halloween
Yeah,
Girl.
she did draw it. She did draw it. So she did
Okay.
draw it. Brandon was the writer. I thought they were co-writers, but
Thought so too.
I did buy that one. I must have. Huh. I'm missing two issues of it. That's odd.
Number two and three.
Number four and five.
Five. Was it canceled? Or have
Yes.
they come out yet?
Well, it could be that I have them, but I haven't. I changed my policies. Of Rocket Girl, I read issues 1 through 4, so they're inventoried. And it could be that five and six were before I started inventorying them, before I read them, which is a stupid ass. God, it was so stupid. I don't know why I had that philosophy. Like, I'm not gonna
Oh,
inventory them until I read
until
them.
you read it.
That's a stupid. That
Yeah,
is
because then
not
you
an
end up.
engineer thinking right there. That's just a
That's a good way of getting
dumbass motherfucker.
duplicates of stuff.
Yeah, it's horrible. Horrible way of doing things. So now I told you my process now is inventory it immediately. You know,
Scan
organize
them right
them and
away.
inventory them. And get them off the fuck of the table so Barb doesn't. So she has a place to put her cereal, right, Barb? And what does the table look like now, Barb? A mess? You want me to scan it in for you, Bill?
Scan it. Yeah, I need to see another visual proof. I will decide if it is dirty or clean. But most likely, I will agree with Barb.
Burritos. There's burritos. There's sausage. Why aren't you hungry? You're gonna just have some tea like Bill. Coffee. Yeah. He would put a saucer underneath that. Bill would be upset.
You don't want to leave a ring on the table.
And she's using my company cup. How about that?
That's good. That's
Because she know
support.
well, it's good because I don't use it, so at least it's being used.
Use.
At least my hard work is paying off in some form. Every
In cup
now and
form.
then you get a reward, and sometimes somebody uses
Sometimes it's
it.
useful, yeah.
Yeah. You want to be here, right? I can make this happen. Just give me a few minutes. Wait, put your cup over there. Do not. I know what you want to do.
Stats. Don't put the cup on the comics.
No, no, don't. You don't need to touch anything. Go sit. Sit. Hey.
I'm no dog. No, don't wait. You talk to me like a dog.
No way.
Lay
no
down.
Way. Hey,
lay down.
Calm down. Lay down. Hey, Bill. Hey, no, no, no. Wait. You're fastening these things way too tight. I don't. Well, I will take care
like
of it.
A dog,
okay, I won't. Okay. Shh. No. Stop it! I'm taking care of this, okay? I love you. You're not a dog. All right. Wait. There you go. Now you can sit and look at your fucking birds. There you go. Ah, stress, Bill.
I'm not marriage.
Oh, man. She was just going to do some shit where she got angry because she thought I was treating her like a dog.
Just because you're telling her to sit and stay?
I was telling her to relax. Relax. Sit.
Stay.
Good girl. what were we talking about? The Unstoppable Wasp.
Yes. I like this. There's a lot of text in it.
Yeah, I like the her character for two reasons. One reason is she's like an engineer. She's like brilliant. She's a brilliant individual.
Scientist.
And it's awesome to see somebody that is like that and be optimistic about stuff. You know, she's really optimistic. So I like that. And right. I like that she wants to be a hero, that her father is. So.
Right. She's she's young and naive, but really smart.
Yeah.
And she's kind of been, well, her backstory is that she was kind of hidden away in a lab for all of her childhood. And now she's finally free in the world and wants to be a hero like her dad.
Yeah.
And it was written really well, I thought. You know, it's interesting that one of my complaints about Princeless is that it was kind of decompressed and there like wasn't a lot of text on each page.
Mm-hmm.
But this is like completely the opposite of that. This one is like tons of dialogue on every page. Which is good. I mean, I think he's a good writer, so I was happy to see that. I definitely enjoyed this one. So I'll be getting the trade. The one and only trade, probably, right? If it's traded.
Let me see if it is. It might already, they're already up there in issues, I think. Unstoppable. Wow.
Maybe it was just
maybe
they solicited it already. I might have already ordered it. Or maybe it's this month.
There is nothing.
I think it might be this.
They might have solicited it, but it's not out yet. Because if it was out yet, it would show up in my database.
I think it might have been this last month's previews. So I should probably check to see if I ordered it. Let me pull up my file. What month is this? May?
So I would say that Unstoppable Wasp, is a better written story than Nick Fury. But if I had to pick between the two, just based on subject matter and my likes and dislikes, I would go with Nick Fury. Whereas
I can see that.
You would definitely go with Unstoppable Wasp. But overall, Hulk, I would go with. Over those other two.
Okay, yeah, Unstoppable the Wasp was just solicited this month. Okay. I did not order it.
See? Your whole method is broken.
I'm gonna have to add that one.
Well, Barb would say it's fixed, but I say it's broken.
This is an expensive month for me.
Are you talking about this month that is available on DCBS? Are you talking about the TBD month that is not out on DCBS yet?
Oh, the the month that I'm talking about, May, so
the one that's
the
out.
Orders that were, yeah, that are was due this month.
Your whole method has really fucked me though, because I really wanted to cover those Alterna comics, and the reason is because that first batch, I think they're gonna be too kiddie for me or too all ages, and I need to make that determination soon. And you don't have them yet.
So make the determination.
I have to.
You don't need me to make the determination.
Well, I was waiting for you so you could read them. But I know that in that case, it's not saving me money because they're the cheapest books you could possibly buy.
A buck each.
But it is saving me space. I mean, those comics take up room too. So
that is true.
I do like the newsprint. I do like it a lot. So Hulk, does Hulk have a trade out yet?
Yes. I think that was, I don't know if it's out. I don't think it's out yet, but I think it was solicited.
And did you buy it?
I'm not going to look. I don't know.
You're so broken.
I'm going to look it up. What's it called? Hulk?
It's got to be quick soon because their trades are either 4 to 6 issues, right? When Marvel collects them, and they're on issue 5, so.
Okay.
I'm gonna read issue 2 today of the Hulk. I really liked it. It's interesting because a couple people posted on my wall that they didn't like it, and one of the reasons was it wasn't their Jennifer Walters, and I just assumed they liked the lighter, you know, Dan Slott or the stuff that we've been seeing of She-Hulk.
Yeah. But how does this Hulk compare to the, like, Charles Soule Hulk?
Did Charles Soule write a Hulk? I don't think he did.
Yeah, he did.
The lawyer one. That one had humor in it. That one wasn't as dark. That one was like, that one was more in the Dan Slott, John Byrne
now,
type.
I don't remember the level of humor in this one, but it wouldn't surprise me if she introduced some level of humor into it.
I don't think so. And just based on what
I think, she's just going a different way with it.
I think it was Gil that was telling me he read the first 3, I think. And he said, it's too dark. And then a lot of people that are having issues with it. I've never had this problem, but some people feel if they buy a Hulk book, you should see a Hulk. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
Yeah. I don't feel that way. If I get a good story and it's if there's a whole issue about Clark Kent and it's in Superman and it's good, I don't care. I don't care if he puts on the costume.
See the.
No, I don't give two shits. But some people think that. Like I was listening to a podcast this past weekend, and they were talking about an Avengers book, and they were like, "Well, they only showed Unstoppable Wasp, and it drove me crazy because this is an Avengers book." And I'm like, "Well, that doesn't bother me. My favorite Avengers book had the Unstoppable Wasp."
Yeah.
I mean, I like when they do focus on individual character building and stuff like that, but some people are like, "Hey, I want to have a fight scene with the Avengers in it or something." They don't.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the offbeat stories.
Yeah.
I certainly don't mind the darker stories. I like the darker stories. I'm okay with that. Why not? Something different. You don't need the same thing every iteration. They're gonna reboot it in a year anyway. You know,
Let
be dark for an arc or two. Why not? Do something different.
Well, it's got to evolve. I mean, everything evolves and then goes back to what the core of the character is, right?
It's all cyclical.
It's all cyclical. All right, so what else do we got? Well, let's talk a little bit about this. So it's kind of her with Miss Marvel and Mockingbird, and the thing about this is she's with Miss Marvel trying to get her citizenship when a giant robot comes and attacks the city. And one of the things I liked about it is, first of all, the robot was seemed like Mockingbird had her hands full. And the Wasp just pretty much shrunk down, went in there and looked at all the weaknesses and told them what to do. They're going to do the Empire Strikes Back approach and cut its legs off and take it from the top. One takes it from the top, one takes it from the bottom, and they take it down. But when she actually got in the robot, she recognized the woman and said, "Holy crap, you're so and so, and you did all these biological papers and something or
Yeah,
another."
I've read all your papers.
Yeah, and she's like fascinated with life and just science in general. And she did end up getting away, but at it showed like Bobby Morris, which is Mockingbird. She was a scientist before she was Mockingbird, and they hardly ever show that, and it kind of poked fun of that. In a lighthearted way, and said, "You realize that I did all those papers?" And she said, "I read all your work." She says, "You're my idol. You could do all this science stuff and be a superhero at the same time." And it
And
actually
she's
brought
like,
tears to her
yeah,
face.
she's like, no one ever remembers that I'm a
Yeah.
scientist.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
I like her character. I think the character building that they do for her is really good. And
I
then
like that
it's
as
just the
well.
simplicity stuff too, like going into like an ethnic bakery and just getting so excited about what to order and asking the guy, I want to eat something, but I don't know what
I
to
don't
eat
know
because it all looks so good. And can you tell me what I need to
what.
eat? The
What's
one thing I need to eat? Yeah,
the
and it's kind of like something that you experience like sometimes when you go into a restaurant and you don't know what to order. Unfortunately, I always go with the safe thing, but like if I was more aggressive and stuff, I would
Yeah, she's
say,
doing what you should do, which is,
yeah, so
I don't know anything about this kind of food, so tell me what what I should order.
I'll go into some fancy restaurant and I'll say, "Oh, I'll have the burger."
And I'll say, I'll just have tea. Do you have
Yeah.
tea on
Do you have tea and some clams or escargot? Can I have some escargot with my tea?
I like escargot, though.
Do you like clams?
Do like clams.
Well, you eat clams, and you'll have an oyster shooter.
And I'll have some goat cheese, beet and goat cheese salad.
You'll beat your goat cheese.
Into the salad, yes.
right.
Goat cheese on that salad, sir?
Did you read, let's see, what else did we get? You had another book. I think you did. I need to
I
get
had this.
back to our
I had
messages.
IT, The Secret World of Modern
Oh, yeah, you did.
IT from Black Box.
I like this one a
I
lot.
didn't know if you even have this one, so I was.
Well, I like the creator, Scott McDaniel.
Yep, Scott McDaniel did the. He did everything.
Yeah, he wrote it. Well, he
And
I think
penciled
it
it.
was based on a story by somebody else because
Yeah,
it
someone else created it and was the
yeah.
editor. He must have hired Scott to
He
do the
must have
writing.
said, "I have this great idea, right? I want to do this thing about banking, and it's a corrupt bank, and there's these characters. Can you make it happen?" And he's like, "Yeah, I could do it." And then he did took that information and ran with it, and it came. It was a really good story. Like I was into it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too.
I
This is a
like his artwork was way better than some of the mainstream stuff he's done, and I don't know if that's because he was giving it because this is his own thing.
He has more stake in the or more skin in the game.
Well, when he was doing like monthly stuff for like Trinity, I mean weekly stuff, it started to look like he was shortchanging us because he wouldn't like finish faces in the background and stuff. And here everything's really well rendered. I liked it. And I like the idea. I like that the hero of the book is kind of like this IT guy who protects this bank from being hacked. And sometimes real time, like it opens up with these guys that hack into banks and they're like, okay, we're getting through this firewall, got through this firewall. I'm going to drop this in here. And, he's blocking them essentially, and it even causes
them like,
to.
Yeah,
they're like, "Who's this guy?
Locked out.
He knows what he's doing."
He's like, "How's this guy stopping us?"
Yeah, they don't. They have an IT guy that's good, and he even knows that he needs to reboot the system to like so he can isolate their what they've injected in the system.
Right, so it doesn't spread.
So it doesn't spread. Yeah,
network,
he'll kill
yeah.
it. And he's doing it at a really susceptible time because they have a big head honcho in there. Not only do they have a head honcho, they need to, they seem corrupt. It seems like it's a bank for Hydra is what it seems like. It seems like they have this one panel where they show all the members of the bank in this this two-page spread, and none of them look like they're good people.
Yeah, they're all up to something.
And they even have they even serviced like the mafia, and then like he even walks in on them at one point, and they beat the crap out of them. I really like this. I'm glad you. I know number two, maybe number three is out already on this thing. I think it's number three already came out, which you probably didn't buy.
Did not. I got number one.
Yeah, they have three issues out.
Okay.
And there's no trade on this, so you'll never ever see what happens again on this.
See, Black Box Comics.
Doesn't make trades.
I'll have to get the individual issues then.
It's too late. Where are you going to find number two and three?
eBay.
Let's see. Okay, I'm just curious. I see the secret world.
I'm sure I could get it from blackboxcomics.com. I'm going to find out, right?
Yeah, let's go do it. Let's do some real-time investigation.
Blackboxcomics.net. .net. What happened? They couldn't even get .com.
IT. What is this called? What is the full title? IT what?
Inside the Secret World of Banking. The secret. Banking. Here you go. Number two.
Of banking.
I don't know if they sell anything on there. How do you not sell anything on your website?
Seriously? Wow. I don't see anything on eBay. So good luck, Bill. You really fucked that one up.
Let's see. Upcoming releases. Let's see if they're. See.
Okay, they have a number three. You could get a number three.
Number three
for $325 plus shipping. So you would have been fucked because shipping is expensive.
Damn it!
You can get a number one for three in the cover price essentially plus shipping. And then there's nothing. There's not a lot of people selling this book. You take risks when you go at these small publishers with the number one thing.
I need to pay attention to publishers that don't. Bring out collections.
Yes. Do you need help? Do I need to like write you notes?
Yes.
Yes.
Write me notes.
I'm gonna be your secretary.
Oh, this is impossible to search for. I can't search for IT internet banking. What's this
called? Well, there you go. Search for Black Box Comics. That's what you search for, my friend.
They didn't have okay, here, Black Box Comics. Upcoming releases. IT number two. The Secret World of Modern Banking. Next. Mm-hmm. New title number one, TBA. Next. New title number one, TBA. Next. New title number one, TBA.
Yeah.
It's a good website.
If it's a small publisher, you should go for it. That's what I think.
All our comics.
You do it for Amigo.
Psycho List number one. Is this their first comic?
Black Box, yeah.
Damn it. What so maybe they'll bring out the trade.
Yeah, I'll because the other black one was Wizard. It was called Black Bull. Do you remember? Wizard had their own publishing company at one time. Black Bull Comics.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Sounds Black Box familiar. Hasn't been done before.
So I'll wait for the. They'll bring out a trade. Who doesn't bring out a trade? Look, Black Box is an independent comics and graphic novel publisher, publishing novels online and in print. There you go.
They just took that out of like the definition of Wikipedia for publishing comics.
What is the difference between comics and graphic novels? Comic books are periodic publications which are published once a month. Graphic novels are published as a book and are longer than the usual comic publications.
Well, thank you for those definitions.
That's right. Can I find Black Box comics and novels in public libraries?
What did you Black give Box this comics book?
Comics and novels may not be available in public libraries because we are a new publication. If you are unable to find our comics and novels, just let them know that you are interested. I'm going to tell my library I'm interested.
They're going to say, you're going to get this big old textbook on IT services
and banking. Here's your you got the book on IT banking in.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. What did I give this book? 4 out of 5.
I don't think I ranked it. No, I gave it a 5 out of 5. I gave 2 of your books a 5 out of 5.
Excellent. Meanwhile, women agent gets mysterious something. Oh. So there's some kind of mystery going on in this because we don't yet know like what the illegal dealings the bank's doing. And then, oh, there's like some agent or something, right? What was that part? The woman.
Oh, that was an NSA agent.
Okay.
I have no clue what their involvement other than her own people betrayed her, right? One of her partners got killed, and her other
right. people.
She said, "Oh fuck, they betrayed me. They whatever happened."
Right, because they were going in undercover, and then
yeah, I don't really know what they're doing, but it has probably to do with finding out about these banks, I guess, or somebody, or finding out about where money's moving or something.
Mm-hmm. And there was a case that they were retrieving,
and it makes you wonder though. At the beginning, those three people, if they're the good guys or not.
Because well, the hackers.
Yeah. What if those hackers are hacking corrupt banks?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't really know at this point. But they could be the good guys. Don't know. I liked it. I'll find out because I have issues 2 and 3. Bill will never
International Holdings Corporation. I will never know.
Yeah, Bill can make up his own story after. He could think of his own story.
That's right. I like to come up with my own.
So he can steal the idea and put it under Geek Brunch Comics. Because that's what he does.
I do come up with great ideas.
Yeah. You got like you guys are doing like a lot of animal stuff with Mr. Alfie lately.
Alfie is currently visiting a farm.
Are there undertones?
What do you mean undertones?
Well, I mean, is there like some kind of hidden meaning there?
Read between the lines, man. Read between the lines.
I am. And I think you like sex with animals. That's what I like.
Yeah, so I didn't tell you this, but Alfie is actually based on a character from Hippie Masala, if you'll remember.
Oh, shit! Is he really?
No.
Keith would, like, be in shock right now if he heard that. He'd be so excited.
No, I can never base anything on that. That cow effer.
Cow fucker.
guy who you could tell his wife hates him. I think he hated his wife. But man, did he love the cows.
Did you buy a comic book called Slasher?
I know what you're talking about. Let me see if I ordered it. I think I probably did because I'm a fan of Charles Forrest. What's his name?
Foreman?
Foreman, that's it. I actually have a page of art of his from... what's the book called? Something fucking end of the world.
Black Hole? Or is that...
No, I think it's called like... I don't know. Something about the fucking end of the world.
Does it have the word fucking?
I thought so. Yeah, End of the Fucking World. Which is a book he did. Which I think they're actually making into a movie. I think. Okay, what am I looking up? Slasher?
Slasher. It's from Alternative Comics.
Slasher.
I think what Alternative Publisher is a bunch of like indie publishers, and then they're just the publisher of that bunch of indie comics, because nowhere on this cover is there an identification saying Alternative Comics, but if you look at previews, that's where it's solicited.
So I think it's just like a way for creators to bring out a book. Well, was his last one on? No, this is something else.
Charles Forsman.
Yeah, Forsman. I got his book Revenger. I wasn't crazy about Revenger. It wasn't bad, though. So why don't you talk about Slasher?
Revenger? Who was that?
That was a book he did about a woman who is getting... I can't remember what her past was. I think she lived a shitty life, and now she's taking revenge on sickos, and she goes and... The first arc was her going to rescue... She's looking for a missing kid and finds out that she's been taken into this, like, prostitution ring. So she's trying to get her out. Huh. Slasher? I don't know if I ordered Slasher. What the hell?
Well, it's kind of good, because I could talk about it then.
Slasher number 3. Yeah, I must not have gotten it.
Okay, so I ordered... I don't think I ordered number 2, but I ordered number 3. I ordered number 1 and 3. So I'm going to have to try to find this book, and it's going to be a fucking hard book to find.
Slasher number 1. Although I think that he might be at Heroes.
If he's at Heroes, maybe he'll have number 2.
Yeah, but if he's at Heroes, he'll have it. He's usually at Heroes.
I don't know if this is... I think this is the first book I've ever read from this creator, I think. So he does the art, he does the writing. He's one of your favorites because you like that thing. You like when they do everything. And, man, it's a weird fucking story. It sort of reminded me of the movie I saw recently, just in style, but not in plot.
I did order it.
Oh, you did order it.
Where the hell is it? I mean, I gotta look and see if it was shipped to me.
I think it would be, because it was in...
I wonder if I read it. Maybe I read it.
Well, let me give you the premise. It's a girl that works in a meat market that's being sexually harassed by her boss. And she's really hates it. And she's weird. And she actually has a boyfriend that looks anemic and sick.
It hasn't been shipped yet. I get it at the end of the month. So don't spoil it.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it, but she has a boyfriend who's anemic and sick. That her mother, it's one of those parents that makes the child sick, even though the child's not sick. Like the doctor says, hey,
yeah, it's like
perfectly okay. But he does weird things to himself.
Munchin by proxy? I think that's Munchin by proxy.
Yeah. But man, this was good. It is so fucking weird that I actually loved it. So I gotta figure out if I ordered number 2, because I don't think I did. Because it's one of those publishers I never buy from. That's why I don't think I did buy it.
Here, I'm going to look at the guest list for Heroes to see if he's going to be there. Fours. Hey, what happened to my search? Oh. Fours. Yeah, he's going to be at Heroes.
Okay.
He'll have a number two Heroes. For sure.
I'll be glad to pick up that then.
If it's out.
But I don't think number two came out yet. No, number two hasn't even come out yet.
That's true. Maybe he'll have it.
It's going to be a tough book to find, just like this IT one. And then if you find it...
Well, if it hasn't come out yet, you might be able to email DCBS.
DCBS is tough with these small publishers.
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't like to do those emails unless it's like a publisher that is popular, because... Here's what I sometimes happens with these obscure publishers is they add it to my thing. Okay, they'll add it to my bill, but I never get it.
You'll never get it.
and then like a year later when I'm looking at my shipped and unshipped stuff, I'll say, oh, why didn't I, what's that there? And I'll have to send them an email saying, hey, this came out way back when and I never got it, because they don't order a lot of these. There's no demand. There's not like a high demand for this book.
Slasher number two.
Let's be honest. For one, it's not a number one, right? So usually from one to two, they go down in 50%. And then it's very obscure publisher. This is a very obscure book.
Mm-hmm.
It's very niche market. It's something that I don't use. This is my first book from Alternative Comics. You know, I don't usually even look. I like skip the section sometimes.
You bastard.
Yeah. So that is a good one. Slasher. I don't know if you got this one, but The Greatest Adventure, number one.
I did. And I read it.
Ah. What did you think?
I didn't really care for it.
I agree.
There was something about the writing that just didn't do anything for me.
Well, the thing is I read all this Tarzan stuff, and I read all the John Carter, so I was like, okay, this is all of Edgar Rice Burroughs' characters, and there's a lot of them. The only ones that ring a bell with me are Tarzan and his wife, Dejah Thoris and John Carter, and Korak. Mm-hmm. Because Korak is the son of Tarzan, and he was published by DC Comics, and there's not too much about DC Comics that I don't own. So I know a lot about these characters. I buy a lot about these characters, and this was kind of just like an issue that didn't really delve in those characters, but set up the plot for where those characters are going to act in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yeah, it really didn't. It kind of brought in the characters, but really didn't do anything with them or talk about their past or anything. And there was a lot of characters too. On that one page, there's like, I don't know, 15 different characters.
Yeah.
It's like, dang. But they didn't actually introduce any of them. They just kind of had them there.
They introduced Tarzan and Jane. They introduced this guy that escaped from that ship. What was his name?
The main guy?
Yeah. He was a big character in this because he invented a contraption that these guys in the future wanted to steal from him.
Right. So the story kind of starts with the guy who had created that contraption crashing into wherever Tarzan lives. His plane crashes, and then he was intentionally trying to go there because he wanted to recruit Tarzan and Jane. And then he kind of tells them about what happened to him, and he came up with an invention, but then he found out that they were going to use it as a weapon, so he didn't want them to. But now was there like two other versions of his invention out in the world? And so now he wants to go get them. But wherever he was taken had was it in like a future or another dimension or what was it?
I don't know.
Because they had flying ships, which they obviously and they don't have at the time this story takes place.
Yeah.
But he was able to learn enough about their technology to recreate it.
Yeah, so he created a ship that he's taking all these Edgar Rice Burroughs characters on the ship.
Characters on.
And they're going to save the day. I like the art. The story was told in a good way. It just didn't really build any of the characters, you know. It kind of just gave the situation. Cesar Resnick, I thought he was pretty good. I think he drew.
Yeah, it's written by Bill Willingham.
Yeah, of Fables.
So I was kind of expecting more, I think, in this term for the story.
So was I. Maybe it'll get better. I don't know. I have number two. I'll let you know. So that was The Greatest Adventure. What else did we have?
We have The Old Guard.
Oh, Old Guard. That was the other 5 out of 5. I like this a lot.
Oh, this was 5 out of 5.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 for me too. This artist is fantastic.
I think this might have been my favorite. It was my favorite of the individual comics.
My favorite was Monica.
But, yeah, that's what I mean. Monica's my favorite overall. But then this was my favorite of the individual issues.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find my notes on this. Son of a bitch. Yeah, so the art. Leandro Fernandez.
This guy is amazing.
Man,
and then you get a nice Greg Rucka script, and it just works, man.
The first page, like when you open it on the book, there's a panel on the first page that like is total like classic Frank Miller.
Yeah,
like, it's like a woman in battle, and it's like a part like silhouette of the woman. It's like, damn, gorgeous.
And he sets it up immediately that you know that this woman is immortal. Like she goes into battle through many time periods and survives these experiences. And well,
so on the first page there's 5 panels. 2 of them are her in battle, and 2 of them are her in intimate situations with different men in different time periods.
Yeah, and she's in bed with the woman at the same time that she's reminiscing about that, right?
And then, yeah, you turn the page and she's in bed with a woman.
Yeah. Oh no, she's in bed with a guy that can't perform. At least it sounds like.
Oh yeah, with a guy. Yeah. Well, you flip the page and
this guy's like, "Man, that's never happened to me before." But can I get your name? And she said, "No, because then I'll have to get your name just so I can forget it."
Yeah, she said, "I don't want your name because then I'll just have to forget it." Yeah. But it shows her. It also shows her getting killed in different battles. Or getting, you know, stabbed with a spear or hit with a sword or shot.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, she keeps coming back to life. So you quickly learn that she's immortal.
And the guys that she works with are immortal.
Yeah, she leaves this guy, and she's like, whatever, dude, later. And then she goes, and they're in Barcelona. And she goes to a little cafe and meets with the other three immortals.
I like that one guy's comment. He's like, "Man, you had sex and you still smell stinky. You didn't even shower."
And I like it's funny because the woman's like this beautiful woman, and then all the dudes are like,
yeah, they're not drawn handsome. That's for
no,
sure.
they're not handsome men.
They're not. Their body's not a wonderland.
But it works because they're like, you know, they've been around the block and they're scarred and beat up dudes.
Yeah.
Tough guys.
And they kind of get a job. They're like kind of like people for hire, like mercenaries for hire. And they get a job from a source saying, hey, can you meet me at this location and I'll give you a mission. And it's a mission to save a bunch of kids because they've been captured.
Mm-hmm.
And they agree to the mission, and they even say, we'll do this mission and you'll pay us afterwards. Like, they don't even set an amount.
Yeah, so we'll tell you how much you owe us based on the mission.
And the mission's a total setup. They get there, there's nobody there, there's no kids. A bunch of doors open. They open fire upon all of them, shoot them all up, and they're filming all of this just to prove that these guys are immortal.
Mm-hmm. And I love the art, like, in the scene where they're, like, in the room at the ambush and they're getting shot and stuff. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, 5 out of 5 for this one, for sure.
Yeah, I loved it. It was fantastic. The art was
I gave
crazy.
IT a slightly different one, slightly higher, just because, I mean, they're both 5 out of 5s for me, but just because it's something that I've never experienced in a comic book before.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced hacking, but not like a corrupt bank like this. It's just weird.
Yeah, but this one had it in terms of the art was 5 out of 5, and it was an interesting story with great characters. And I'm interested in seeing, like, what happens to these characters now. Like, it was a good starting point for the story, because they leave you at a point where you're like, oh, shit, what's going to happen now? It makes you want to read more.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Rucka nailed it once again.
Yep. Good stuff, man. Anything else? I think we... I don't know if we missed anything.
I think that's all the comics I have. Let me look here.
I have one comic I want to mention that I know you didn't read. It's kind of old. And maybe you bought it, but I don't think you did. Let me see if I can find
Correct.
It.
Let's see.
It's Joe Kubert Presents #1. This is a comic book that was published. It was created by Joe Kubert. DC worked with him. And it was, by the time the first issue came out, he had passed away. So they had done these 6-issue anthologies for DC where he has his stuff and he has some other creators that he had to do some work for him. And did you get this, or does it sound familiar?
I'm looking at my file. I have 3 and 5.
That sounds like something you might have grabbed out of a con box then. Like,
yeah, I did.
Box.
I might have ordered. Oh, let me look on DCBS. I think I probably ordered #1. I think I read it. I remember when this came out, and I think I did get it. I'm not seeing it though.
So
maybe
this,
I didn't.
So what this had is a Hawkman story done by, written and drawn by Joe Kubert, and it was simply the Thangarians concerned about Earth, because they might influence the destruction of Thanagar. So they sent down Carter and Shiera to Earth to us. To teach them, essentially, and they landed their rocket, I think, in Africa somewhere, and they met with this culture that was getting bought out by other companies, and they were getting exposed to chemicals, and animals were dying, and they eventually, they do talk about Hawkman and Hawkgirl. In the Silver Age, he used to be able to talk to birds. They don't so much talk about that anymore. But he has that ability with other animals as well in this. So he's able to talk to the elephants and other stuff, which is an ability that you never really see Hawkman have. But he kind of saves the culture and threatens one of their leaders who knows what he's doing and says, hey, you know, if you keep this up, we'll have to come back and return a second time. So that was cool. And then the Angel of the Ape story, this was pretty amazing. This was done by Brian Buniac, and I'm not familiar with his work, but I am
Me
familiar with
neither.
Angel of and the Ape, and they are like a detective agency. One of them is an ape, and one of them is Angel, and she hangs out with this ape, and they're like a private investigator, and they get hired to investigate a guy who says, you gotta stop me from committing suicide. And we're like, how do you not stop that? And he says, well, my business was failing, and I hired a hitman to come kill me, because my brother stole my wife and his wife, I mean his fiance, and his fiance is a bitch, man. I don't even know why he wants her, because she went with whoever had the most money and went with the brother, and now she's back because he won the lottery. And because he won the lottery, he wants Angel and Ape to stop him from getting assassinated. And Angel says, "Hey, I know the merc that the hitman that you called to kill you. I'll just call him and cancel it." And sure enough, they called him to cancel it. But somebody ends up shooting the guy anyway, and I don't know who it is. So I guess we'll find out next issue. And then he did this weird story called Spit. And I think it's just a one shot, just by written and drawn by Joe Kubert, and it's just about a poor boy that left the orphanage, and it was always he was named Spit because he's like not worth spit, and he's just trying to find out how to survive, and he goes into a bar and gets fed just a little bit of meat, and he it sounds like some perverted dude is trying. He says, "You can come with me, kid," and he. And some guy says, "No, I'm not gonna let you take him," because he like knows what his intentions are. And says, "Hey, you can go work upon the ship." And then he goes on the ship. You don't know what happens after that. But the fourth story is what I really want to talk about, because this guy I think I've met at Heroes Con or Baltimore Con, and I think I own one of his graphic novels, which makes me even want to read it even more. And I have talked to him because he does a lot of World War II stuff. This creator is named San Glasman, and he was actually in World War II and was on the ship, the USS Stevens. And he talks about his boat, and he talks about how his boat didn't even see combat in Pearl Harbor, but. No, they didn't see naval combat. Let me make that clear. They saw air-to-sea combat, which means they had to fight off the kamikazes on their ship. And it talks about the death of one of the gunners that you would fire one of the turrets on the battleship. And one of the guys that he was training just became. He kind of lost his shit. Like, he lost his marbles. These are all kind of based on true stories. After he saw that guy die, and he kept on saying, "I want to get home to his family," and he's like, "Man, I know this guy doesn't even have a family. What is he talking about?" So it's really weird. But the interesting thing about it, and that I did not know this, and I'm not I found it fascinating, was on December 17th of 1944, there was a huge storm in the sea, and we lost three destroyers. Because of weather, they were topsized. I mean, you know how destroyers are narrow and they're top heavy? These things went over and the pumps couldn't flush out the water and a lot of people died. But look at these statistics. The USS Spence had 512 crew members, only 23 survived. The USS Hull, 350 members, only 62 survived. And the USS Monaghan, 354 people and 6 men survived. That's an incredible, devastating storm, you know, in terms of technological weapons and loss of life. That's a lot. And I just found that fascinating because I didn't know about them. And sure enough, it made me go look up what and it was Memorial Day weekend too, so I'm kind of like focusing a lot on
War Comics.
War Comics, yeah. So I did research on these ships, and that's really what happened. And this is something that we don't really hear a lot about, you know? You know about Pearl Harbor and what happened at Pearl Harbor and the loss of life there, but not too many people talk about three destroyers and the loss of life on due to weather, you know? That's incredible, a loss of life.
Interesting. So there's a hardcover out, USS Stevens, The Collected Stories. That was brought out last year from Dover.
Yeah, I bought that. That's the one that I have. Yeah.
And that includes these. It looks like it includes these stories.
Yeah, so I'm kind of reading them in this, and then I'll probably. I think that one has more because it's a bigger book.
Yeah, it's like 400 pages.
Yeah.
But it does collect the Joe Kubert story, the ones that were in the Joe Kubert book. But I mean, his stories, the first stories in this are from the 70s, so.
Yeah.
From Our Army at War.
Oh, from this book?
They
were originally published in there?
Yeah, they're.
So I had no idea. I know that some of the backups were true. I just had no idea which ones were. Do you know what I mean? Because I read a lot of these as kids, and I didn't know what was fact or fiction, but I always assumed fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about his stuff. Is it all
nonfiction? Like even when you get into the I think some stories that Karinger did and. Some of the stories that they did, they had some truth to them, but they were fiction. Do you know what it could be loosely based on some kind of event or historical?
Yeah, that's what I was figuring, that a lot of these stories.
These ones, I think, are all based on truth.
Nonfiction,
fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing his stories were probably a mix. They're probably, some are true stories and then some are just based on his experiences.
So sure enough, I went and verified, you know, that these ships did exist, and
yeah, that's cool.
It really happened. The other thing that I found interesting from a Memorial Day perspective is I read a lot of war comics. I started diving into The Losers by Jack Kirby. I read the first appearance of the Haunted Tank. I'm going to be talking about these on Retro, so I'm not going to go into detail. But I am going to go into one detail. The Haunted Tank, I never thought about this, but it was an M6 tank. Okay, so I wanted to learn about this because they make it a point in the Haunted Tank to let you know that this tank was one of the smallest tanks that the U.S. had, and its turret was less powerful than anything they had. So they're like, this tank could never, people would laugh at it, like, this tank could not survive against a Tiger, you know, or any of the German tanks. A Panzer, Tiger, you know, they were huge. The Germans' tanks, like, you'll see this in, there's a couple movies about tank warfare, one that just came out, like, last year, and they show that those German tanks, if you're hit by one of those German tanks, you're fucked. It will penetrate the armor, whereas a lot of these Sherman tanks, I think they were Sherman tanks, they would, fire upon these tanks, and if you fired on the front, if you were to hit the German tank from the front, you wouldn't make any penetration whatsoever. You had to go around the back and hit them from the side or the back, because the Germans knew that they were going to be in the front. You know, they shielded all the weight and stuff towards the front. But anyway, this M6 tank, I'm like, okay, that's interesting. I'm going to go Google and find out more about this M6 tank. Why did the writer choose to write this Haunted Tank as an M6 tank? And I still don't know, because the M6 tank was never deployed in World War II. It was developed, but it was never deployed. So I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. Like, why would the writer choose a tank that never saw war, you know, never fought? But I found that absolutely fascinating. But yeah, I have homework for other comics, but I got so much into the war stuff that I was like, I really don't want, Like, I'm supposed to read Long Halloween, and I'm almost just a bail for the episode of Gotham by Geeks because I'm such a mood reader. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're in the zone.
if you give me homework and make me get out of the zone, I don't want to, and it'll hinder my enjoyment.
Right, you won't be able to appreciate it as much as you would.
Oh my God, reading this Haunted Tank, it was just so good. I absolutely loved it. And I also read some Nick Fury. I read a what if Sergeant Fury had fought World War II in outer space. But that was really weird. It was on a parallel universe where technology was way better than what it was in our World War II. But this Joe Kubert thing kind of blew my mind. Just thinking, you know, it made me think a lot about it, and, like, these people's families and stuff. That's a lot of people that died because of a storm. You're like, holy shit. You're talking about hundreds of people. And I've kind of seen – I was at, like, a state fair one year, and there was this area for veterans, and I saw, like, where certain survivors were on certain ships, and I read about them, but mm-hmm. I had no idea what ships these were, what they were, why they survived, and it's pretty interesting. So that's – do you have any other books you want to plug?
No, I don't have any other comics.
The only other thing that I read that was higher than anything I've ever read is Injustice: Gods Among Us. Man, I started rereading it. So I already read Year One. I reread it, and then I reread issue Year Two, and then I started Year Three, and I'm halfway through. And it's hard for me to put it down too. Like, it's hard for me to vector away from it. Because I'm enjoying it so much.
Yeah, I remember you really liked that. I liked the first issue. I think my library has those. I need to.
I told Knudsen, like I said, you got to go to your library, and you. I told him last night, you need to go look at this, man, because it is deep. And if you see the thing that's amazing is it's in Elseworlds, right? So they can get away with murder, but Tom Taylor. He knows these characters. Like, he doesn't, like, when they're written, they're not written in a different voice. They're written like they're the characters that we know and love, put into different situations, extreme situations. So their voices are very well thought of, I think, and that's mm-hmm. what makes it amazing. That's good stuff. So do you want to go into TV or movies?
Sure.
Are we approaching on your limit? I think we are, huh? We're about 40
minutes
away.
We got another half hour. Yeah. Well, we can start with movies. I finally saw Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2.
Ah. Did you like it?
I loved it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was quite fun. Quite a fun ride.
Plus, and it had, like, a lot of sentimental things, too, I thought. You know, like a father-son aspect, like, who's my real father?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he realized who his real father was, even though it's not his biological father. I like that.
And anytime you open a movie with the song Brandy, then it's a winner in my book, because I love that song.
Brandy and Kurt Russell.
There's another song too that I really like. I don't remember.
What
was
the
other
song? I bought the soundtrack for. I bought them for the first one, so I bought it for the second one too. First one more. I enjoyed this one.
I'm trying to know the soundtrack. Guardians Volume 2 soundtrack.
I thought Rocket and Drax were amazing too. Like, I I like the use of that Batista. I really like him. And seeing Rocket is amazing.
Yeah, and Rocket actually had some depth this time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, depth last time too, but it was more from a group perspective and towards the end when we thought we lost Groot. But
oh, the other song, Lakeshore Drive. That was the other song.
Which one is that one? I know all the songs, but that one doesn't sound. Sing a verse.
That's right. It's like it's a song about Chicago, about Lakeshore Drive in Chicago, and one of the famous lines is something like, "Driving on down on LSD."
Oh, that's what sold you. You're like, yeah, LSD. I like this movie.
No, it's a.
I used to do that.
Living in Chicago, they play that song on the radio in Chicago a lot on the classic rock station. So I get to hear that song a lot because it's a Chicago song. So
cool. Oh, you mean it's a. The city Chicago, not the band, right?
Right. Yeah, the city of Chicago. So I was happy to hear that song in there. Yeah, but I liked it. I mean, I liked the whole storyline. I thought it was good. So, and I liked that there was a lot of character moments in this one that I liked with Gamora and what's her name, Nebula.
Yeah. Well, it had good Gamora, Nebula. It had some good Rocket. It had Star-Lord with his fathers. I'll say fathers because one of them raised him, sort of, mm-hmm. as a Ravager. So,
Yeah, that was all good.
And you saw the classic Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, not all of them, but you saw Charlie, whatever his name is, 27. You saw Martin X and... God, what is the other guy that Sylvester Stallone played? Starhawk.
Was that who?
Yeah. Yes. You didn't see the girl with fire hair or... And then oh God, the guy with the whistling, he's also an original Guardian of the Galaxy. Oh, Guide the Arrow.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's his father.
Whatever the hell his Star-Lord. Whatever his name is, yeah. Yondu.
Yondu, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. So are they with the Sylvester Stallone stuff, are they setting up another movie?
They could, but I don't
like
think
a spinoff.
I don't think they will. They might explore them in another Guardians movie, but Guardians. I don't think they'll do their own. Starhawk 2 wasn't an original, so it's interesting that they chose him. But he shows up a lot in later issues of Defenders or Avengers. I can't remember. Than when they were introduced. I recently read the first appearance of the Guardians of the Galaxy, so I'm
okay. So you're...
I'm up to speed. I read that and the first appearance of Groot, which is totally different. But he was a world conquering Groot that came to Earth and wanted to destroy it.
He talked, didn't he?
He did. He did. It was cool too because it was such a cool story because the scientist was a biologist, and his wife was a bitch, man. I don't even think she was his wife, his girlfriend. She pretty much hated him and just put him down the whole time until he saved the world. And then she's like, oh, my God, I love you. You're so smart. Because Groot wanted to make – he apparently could take trees and make rocket ships, and he wanted to take a whole – small town into space and study them on his planet.
Yeah.
And he is like the only one left of his race. I mean, they've kind of made that known in the movies and the comics. So I don't know where they were headed with this, but it was a good comic. So you liked it. A good movie.
Yep. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've seen I like that movie so far as the best and the ones I've seen so far, but Aliens I saw.
Oh, you
Aliens,
did see that.
what is it called? Whatever the new one is.
Covenant, is that it?
It's pretty slow, but it's I'm not gonna say much because you probably want to see it, and
Yeah, I'll watch it.
it has linkages to other films, plus if you give away the plots, then it's no fun. So yeah, I liked it. I don't think it's the best Alien film. I think it's probably ranked third or four for me in terms of all the Alien films, but I enjoyed it. I will just say in general, it delves a lot into the synthetic IA robots that they had in the past movies.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure I'll like it. I like the last one.
And I
It
saw
wasn't
another
great or
movie,
anything, but.
but what was it? I'm trying to.
But you saw the King Arthur, right?
Oh, King Arthur, I saw that. That was really good.
Yep. I know that. Wait, was Keith talking about it on
Yeah,
DZ Noise?
Keith loved it.
Yeah, but it's in his
Daryl
wheelhouse,
loved
so.
it. Yeah. They liked it more than I did. It reminded me a lot of A Knight's Tale in tone. It's not the same. This guy did Sherlock, the two Sherlock Holmes movies with
Okay.
Robert Downey Jr. So a lot of it's filmed in that stylistic,
Modern style, yeah.
yeah, that he does. The tone of it reminded me a lot, especially with the buddies that King Arthur develops when he's not king. Reminds me a lot of the buddies that were in The Knight's Tale. I don't remember if you remember that Heath Ledger movie,
I remember it.
but
I've never seen it though.
yeah, you should see it. It's good. It's very different because it's very stylized. It's a timepiece about jousting, A Knight's Tale, but it has like a modern flavor. Like it's very strange in that aspect, but it's cool. Yeah, I liked it. King Arthur. I don't know why it flopped so bad, but it was well worth watching at the theater for sure. And I watched a movie called Tank 432, which was one of my DC Noise picks. And
I know nothing about that movie.
that one was very interesting. And if you told me to describe it, I really can't because, man, if I was to write a movie, I like the way they did this because it's one of those movies where you don't know what the fuck happened, but it makes you think a lot about it, about the film. And about what it meant, because you don't know what it meant. And
No, add it to my list then.
yeah, it's on
That's...
Netflix. It's the acting is really good. So you could either really like it, or you'll be like, why did I just waste 2 hours of my time because it didn't go nowhere? But
Yeah.
I felt it had a meaning, and I don't know, I liked it a lot. The other one I watched was Maximum Ride, which was a James Patterson novel. And that one was very low budget. Kind of like in the vein of X-Men, but about a bunch of characters that were developed for something as weapons.
Wasn't there a comic adaptation of the book as well?
There might have been.
I thought there
They were
was.
like
Sounds
angels,
familiar.
and they fought these like Ravager type things that were. Well, the guy looked a lot like a saber-tooth type character. But that's it for me.
Only thing that I have are I watched that Sing Street movie.
What was it called?
Sing Street.
Seam Street?
Sing,
Oh, Sing
SING.
Street.
Yeah, Sing Street. So that's it's a movie that takes place in the 80s in, I believe, Ireland. Yeah, Ireland. And it's about this kid who starts at this new school, and it's about him kind of growing up and discovering himself. So what he does is he sees this cute girl across the street from the school, and one day he goes over and talks to her because he wants to meet her. And he tells her, and she's cool and hip. Oh, I think it's like a girls' school across the street. And he tells her that he's in a band, even though he's not in a band. So then, she says that she's a model. So he asks if she wants to be in their video. So then he has to get a band together. So he goes around the school and tries to find kids who play instruments, and eventually they form a band. And then, so the cool part of the movie is that it's them in the band, and it's during the 80s. So every time and his brother's really into music. So his brother, he has like an older brother, who smokes dope and stuff and has long hair, and he's really into music. So he keeps introducing his kid brother to these different kinds of music. So each time he learns a different kind of music, the band will do a song in that style. So they do some of the bigger ones where he gets into The Cure. So he does the goth thing, and he gets into Duran Duran.
New wave.
Yeah, a new wave style. So, and he changes his clothes and hair for each, as they get into each style. So it kind of captures the different kinds of music that were popular in the 80s. And the actual music that they're doing in it, they sing, they do, and they make videos too of all these songs, and they dress up kind of in the costumes of the,
I think either Nick or Martin, watched,
yeah, talked about it.
Yeah, Nerdy Legion. Yeah. It sounds familiar.
Yeah. It's good, though, especially if you grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Can appreciate it. But it's a really well-done story as well, so I like that one. It was good. And then the only other thing I've been watching, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. I'm almost finished watching season 2 of Daredevil.
Ah,
so I've been going through that, and it's like I started watching this a while ago, and the first couple episodes I really wasn't that into, even though it is Punisher.
Yeah.
But then, once they started with the main story for the season, yeah, I totally got into it, and I'm totally into it now.
Did you get into the Kingpin part yet, or not yet?
No, I'm not there yet.
Okay.
It's good though. I'm loving it.
Yeah. Because
I love the whole stuff with the Punisher, because I love the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a really good job with them, and I love the Elektra stuff, of course.
Yeah,
so it's cool because you got both sides. You got the court stuff. It's like what I liked about the comic when I was a kid. You got both the court side of it, and you got the fighting side of it.
Yeah, the hand, the stick. Yeah, it's cool.
So, because that's what I loved when I was a kid, because you'd have both of the...
Are you watching them in order like me, too? Like Jessica Jones and then Daredevil, and then you'll watch Luke Cage next, or... Are you watching them out of order?
I don't really know what the order is, so...
Well, it's like Daredevil,
if I am watching them in...
And then Daredevil
2. Well, I definitely watched... Yeah, I watched those two first, and then... I started watching Luke Cage, but I jumped to... Well, I was watching that and Daredevil kind of simultaneously. Ah. But now I switched to just pure Daredevil, then I'll do Luke Cage after this.
Mm-hmm. I started watching The Client List. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, that's a weird show. I'm watching it for Jessica Love Hewitt. it's a weird show where she goes to work at her husband just vanishes and leaves. They have two kids, and she has no money, so she goes and works at a massage parlor in another town, or she commutes there, and they tell her that, yeah, you'll make your money, but it's, if you really want to make your money, you have to have sex with 10% of the clientele.
Oh, yeah, I think you might have mentioned
yeah,
this one
she
before.
She doesn't say she yeah. has sex, but she says, I don't have sex with them, but she does. When somebody says sex, do you think a blowjob is sex? Or do you think it's like intercourse into the vagina? What do you think?
I think that's where you can draw a fine line.
No, but I'm asking, is a blowjob sex?
Like,
or
are jerking I would consider
somebody
it,
off sex?
I would consider it, it would fall into the sex category for me.
Yeah, for me too. So yeah, she's doing that, and it's weird too because her friend finds out and is like, you need to quit, you're not like this, and then she starts crying and she says, but I help all these men, I listen to their problems and I jack them off. She didn't say that. But I release their tension.
I release all their tension through their penises.
And I like doing it, and I'm like. When I saw that scene, I'm supposed to feel like sentimental, like, but I was laughing.
Good laughing.
I was like, she's sucking their dicks. What is she telling her friend? She's sitting there sobbing to her friend, but I'm really helping these men out.
She's performing a valuable service.
I like solving problems. Yeah, I don't know why I started watching it, but I'm already six episodes in. Well, I know why I watched it, because we have this weird rule in this household is we can't watch a show if we both want to watch it unless we're both available. So like, sure. I can't just like be on the elliptical and say, I want to watch Luke Cage. I have to wait for Barb.
Right. So this is your show that, Barb doesn't.
Yeah, give Barb don't give two shits about the client list, or Maximum Ride, or any of stupid shit like Tank 432. Probably would have bored her to tears. I found it amazing because it's something like a biological weapon that makes people think they're part of an experiment, but they don't know if they're part of the experiment. Man, it's very weird.
Yeah, I think it sounds right up my alley. So
and they get trapped in a tank. And it's not a turret tank. It's one of those old tanks that has the guns come out of the side and stuff, but it doesn't have the big turret.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, this is cool.
And the only other thing I need, probably after Daredevil, I'll watch Sense8 Season 2, because I think that just came out recently.
Sin City? What?
Sense8. Yeah, Sense8.
Like sense and then eight, the number eight?
Yeah, sense and then the number eight.
Okay. What is that?
That's the one. It's done by the Wachowskis and I think Straczynski. It's about the people who are. It's about eight people who have the ability to transport themselves to one another, but yeah, what? No, no. So, if there's eight people who are connected, so if you and I were connected,
like
I could
connected. Like, what do you mean, mentally connected, or do
yeah,
you mean
mentally
like
connected,
attached,
no, mentally
like
connected
a Siamese
where
twins.
No, mentally connected where I could take over your body if I wanted to. So the different characters have different abilities. Like one can like fight well, and one's like, I don't remember all the characters anymore. But so there's one scene where one of the women gets like thrown in jail at one point or arrested or something, and one of the women is a like a martial artist, so she takes over the woman's body and like does all the fighting for her and things like that. So it's really good. Season one was amazing. So. I need to watch season two. And it's a Netflix season, so it's whatever.
Good.
8 episodes or whatever.
I like short seasons. I feel like I get more bang for my buck.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing also is that they don't drag on. I guess it's like 12 episodes. Whatever.
Well, you know what I'm almost caught up on or getting close to is Lucifer, and it's amazing. I like it because it's procedural, but man, the ongoing story is so God, it's so much in my wheelhouse with religion.
And that hasn't been canceled yet, right?
No.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's an awesome show, Bill. Like,
I have it on TiVo. I just need to.
Oh my god.
I need to catch up on it. I dropped it at some point, but I'm still recording it. I'm just letting it pile up.
they introduce Lucifer's mother, which is the goddess of all creation. Okay, so you have God, and you have the goddess of all creation. And man, she is a manipulative bitch. I'm like, holy crap. Man, it's so in depth this season. It's weird seeing Lucifer as the good guy, like the everyman. It's cool. I like it.
Awesome.
Lot to think about. Oh, we have one question before we go.
Yes.
This is from Rob Krieger.
I don't know
him. He says he's on Rob Krieger, like Bob Seger.
Bob Seger of Geek Brunch fame.
Have you read Catalyst Free Comic Book Day from Lion Forge or the Noble? Did you go to Free Comic Book Day?
I did not.
Did you get some Free Comic Book Days from DCBS?
I did request some.
But you haven't gotten them. I don't know if
I requested that one. I have not. No, I haven't got them yet. How do you spell Catalyst? Catalyst.
L-Y-S-T. I think it's like Catalyst Prime. I did read it. It's really good, and it's original comic. I am all for Free Comic Book Days that don't reprint. And Catalyst Prime is an introductory to Lion Forge's shared universe. And if you like movies like Armageddon and what is the other one with Tia Leone?
Yes, I did order it, but I haven't gotten it yet.
What is Tia Leone's name? I mean, what is that movie
with Tia Leone,
where the comet's gonna crash into Earth? Morgan Freeman and Tia Leone.
I don't know. I know the event or something.
I can't remember what it was, but it was like Armageddon. They came out at the same time. They're different tones in movies. This is what this is. There's a world-ending event, and I don't want to say anything because you did order it and you're gonna read it.
I will read it.
It's by Christopher Priest.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah, I ordered it, and I've ordered all of the Catalyst number ones that have been solicited.
Yeah, I ordered.
So I will be reading them.
I haven't read it yet. I only read the Free Comic Book Day one. Very weird reading it because it's very much in Christopher Priest's style of writing, where he puts a bunch of shit out of sequence. So you kind of have to, you know, make sure you're real alert when you're reading it, because you got to catch all the things to understand mm-hmm. what's happening. But it's really good. It's an interesting take for a number one, that's for sure, because of the main character and what's happening. It's different.
Did it work as a Free Comic Book Day book? Does it make you want to read more of this world?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah.
Good.
Because it ends on something like a cliffhanger. So I'd say yes. So do you got any other food or movies or TV you want to mention?
Do I have any food? I don't think so.
Still no anchovies.
No, I had some delicious mussels last night, but no anchovies.
On a man or a woman?
Mussels?
Yeah, were they mussels on a man? Were they flexing or?
They were mussels of the sea.
Oh.
So mermaid.
I thought you were licking mussels off on somebody or something.
I was enjoying someone's mussels last night.
You were exploring a wonderland of your own.
Exploring my own muscles. I was having fun with my muscle last night. I was twisting my muscle.
What is this? You're twiddling your cord.
Twiddling my cord and massaging my muscle. I had the muscle in my mouth.
All right. Well, if you want to send us...
I was gonna, there's someone who's going to be at Heroes, but I... Well, you see, what's his face? Larson's going to be at Heroes this year.
Yeah. Larson, to me, though, God, I'm like in so awe. I don't know what to say to him. I'm serious.
I know what you're talking about exactly.
Like, there's creators that I could go talk to and I feel very comfortable with, like Tom Scholey and Peepoy, and I could just shoot the shit with, and I feel in my own realm. Eric Larson is like one of those guys that I'm like, I just don't know what, I don't know what to say. I feel like Chris Farley in Saturday Night Live. Like, you're cool. Like, you know,
I like your stuff. Savage Dragon.
Yeah, Savage Dragon is awesome. But, oh man, I just get intimidated. So I just end up watching him, especially if he's drawing, you know, with his little, he curls his wrist and he just starts.
No, I know exactly what you mean. There's some. Oh, Jim Shooter's going to be there too.
I did have the nerve to talk to Jim Shooter and not sound like an idiot.
Okay.
I did talk to Jim last year or the year before, and he's amazing. I might ask him some questions about some stuff, you know, like how his Defiant universe, like some of the stuff that's non-Valiant, like Defiant and Broadway, how did that all come about? You know, I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Because they're very different. Like, I think Broadway is closer to Valiant than Defiant. And Defiant came first.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah. But, so we're going to be in the same room.
Bed, I thought.
No. There's going to be a sock on the door rule. You know, like if the sock is on the door, you do not come in.
Don't come knocking.
Yeah, don't come a knocking.
What if there's a sock on your wang? What does that mean?
And if you find some sticky substance on your pillow, don't worry about it. Just wipe it off, okay?
I had the weirdest dream last night.
Oh, no!
I dreamt that you came to my bed and were...
I dreamt that my ear was stuck to the pillow. I couldn't...
I dreamt that there was a bird pecking at my ear all night.
I dreamt I was in a huge bukkake. Did you make your flight
reservations? Yeah. Yes, I have. I am all set.
Okay. We decided not to go to Denver this year, no Baltimore, so Heroes is it for us. I'm still on the fence about Colorado Springs Comic Con, but highly unlikely because it's like an actor Comic Con. Even though they have Jim Shooter and Rob Liefeld and Neil Adams, it's mostly actors. And it's during a month when I know I'm going somewhere, like I'm on another vacation, so that kind of changes things too.
Mm-hmm.
All the local stuff is just bad. I wish it was shifted a month or two.
Is that con close enough? Like, how far is that from you?
Oh, that one's probably like 20 minutes away, 15 minutes.
Wouldn't you go for just like one day?
Denver Comic Con is... Yeah, I might go on a Sunday.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Like early Sunday and just get a day pass where I could walk around and buy some stuff and shop and get out of there before they start tearing down their booths.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, a lot of times when you have a local con, you end up going less than a destination one. Well, because the destination one, you're just there for the con and to see people. So, although it seems like lately.
No Keith this year, but there's not no MBATs. There's not going to be a lot of people, but there will be Chris Campbell, I think, is a go, and Daryl is a highly probable. It just depends how his mom's doing.
Yeah. And I hear that the creator of Dr.
Martin will be there too. There. And Cunningham will be there.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
We'll have fun anyway.
I'm actually getting his table pass too, so I could get in early.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I can see what Luke does underneath the tables.
Oh my gosh. You're going to have front row seats for the action. All the action.
All the action.
I've only heard about it. Make sure you like bring your phone so you can record it video, but keep it like kind of hidden so they don't know, so he doesn't know.
Yeah, I was thinking of putting my phone in my zipper and just hitting record. Oh.
Yeah, the POV. POV.
Yeah, POV. Like, man, what's Luke doing down there? That'll be like POV like you've never seen before.
You've never seen this POV.
Because it's not like, it's not from an eye view. It's from the penis view. It's like if your penis had an eye.
Penis of operation. POV. Penis of you. Fantastic.
All right. Well, we can wrap this up. You can find Bill on the Twitters at @DBM00. And you should buy him a new mic. Because he only has one for work. The bastard.
Like, I have a very nice
mic. I have a new headset. Yeah. Everybody goes, yeah. What kind did you get? Yeah.
Finally. Yes. Finally,
hey, what is it for? It's for work. Oh, fuck.
I had to get one for work.
Well, I couldn't figure out if you got a headset, why you wouldn't go wireless.
Like for home?
For home, yeah.
That's not high fidelity.
Well, I use one.
Are you using it right now?
Yeah.
I should get one. What's the range on those? How far can I walk?
10 feet.
That's it?
10 feet in each direction. Once I get past the living room, I start to hear. Once I leave the kitchen, but like I could go to the kitchen, I can go outside. I could.
So I can go outside?
Yeah. Well, it depends on how close you are.
I'm right by a window, so I could go outside the window.
And I don't know. I don't know what you could. My headset could do two things. It could do Bluetooth, and I don't do Bluetooth, or it could do wireless USB. And I use the wireless USB. So it might even go farther if I'm Bluetoothing it.
Oh, so wouldn't the wireless go farther than the Bluetooth?
I don't know.
I think Bluetooth goes to like 100 feet, though, doesn't it?
That's a lot. Maybe
I'm wrong.
Well, I know it goes pretty doggone far because we have a Bluetooth wireless speaker, and I can take it pretty far. I could put it almost anywhere in the house.
From maybe
the actual device.
Maybe I'll have to. I'll have to check how many donations we got this month. See if I can afford it.
Maybe we should Patreon this.
Geek Brunch podcast site.
We should Patreon this.
Then we'd have to give like special Patreon rewards.
No, they can't listen to Geek Brunch unless they pay us.
We forbid you. We're forbidden to download this and listen.
That's what some people do.
It's true. You can put it behind a wall.
Yeah. There you go. You can come on an episode of Geek Brunch for $500. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to us live. For $500. Come on. Come on.
It's a bargain.
Yeah. You could talk about Bill's body is a wonderland. Well, we got to end this because you have your 1 minute past.
Yep, I need to go.
So
you have been listening to Geek Brunch Podcast.
On geekbrunchpodcast.com and DBM00, Mike Myers Brunch on the Twitters, Geek Brunch Podcast on Facebook. Click the like button, follow the threads there. Leave an iTunes review, and we will see you in 2 weeks, maybe, if we're not at Heroes. I guess we could do it in 2 weeks. That's the weekend before Heroes, right?
Yep.
Yep. All right, well, I'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right, I will see you.
Bye-bye.